rule of three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. It's we're going to be talking later about, I almost kind of went into an Adam West voice there. I don't know if you noticed. Two topics.
One of the most recognizable voices along with Shatner, right? And Christopher Walken, wouldn't you say?
Could be. But we're going to be talking about that later. We'll save it for later. We're also going to be talking about a tweet that, that Brian had that he's pretty proud of. It's his most successful tweet ever. We're going to be talking about that in the third segment. But right now... Here's something I saw in the news. I find this fascinating, and there's even I even did a blog article on it, which you can see on my website, timslegel.com. Is that apparently a Cuban tourism is a bust? People are not going to flocking to Cuba like people thought they were. It was what it reminds me of, and I'm going to go way off topic here, but I hope I can bring it back. Mm-hmm. What it reminds me of is that when I was a kid, we couldn't get Coors beer in Michigan.
Oh, right. I mean, that's the whole plot of Smokey and the Bandit. Right?
Was it? I don't think I ever saw Smokey and the Bandit.
No, yeah, the whole plot of Smokey and the Bandit, I believe, is that he is trying to illegally run Coors beer onto the other side of the Mississippi, where it was not legal.
It has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with refrigeration. It was just too expensive. It's Coors beer was not pasteurized, so it was too expensive to run refrigerated trucks all the way east. And once they figured out cold filtering, they were able to pasteurize the beer without heating it up, and then they were able to ship it warm. And after that, we were allowed to sample Coors liberally in Michigan, and suddenly it just became another crappy beer. The mythology of Coors was totally based on the inavailability to it. And I kind of think that has a lot to do with Cuba. I think that's the reason why people think that Cuban cigars are the best in the world. I cannot believe myself that a communist nation is as capable of producing cigars to the same quality as the free market. It just goes against everything I believe in. And apparently it isn't the tourist destination that people thought it was going to be. It's all these airlines rushed to have a flight into Havana, and now they're going out and coming back empty.
I have two theories on that. First, on the cigars, I don't smoke cigars, so I don't know. I think Cubans, and I have heard from people who love cigars, they really are the best. But I think part of it might have to do with the particular kind of leaf that comes from that tropical climb and that area, the way that my stepdad said that the tomatoes in Italy really are just better than any tomato in the world.
Sure.
Or that coffee beans in certain areas are certain. Yeah. That'd be my theory.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of geography very similar to Cuba.
Right around in that
triangle.
This is just a theory. Toss it out. I don't have the science to back it up. But I do think there's you're onto something. I mean, anytime something is hard to get, all of a sudden it's very popular. I remember at one point RC Cola started bottling their regular old crappy RC Cola. It was in cans for a long time. They put it back in bottles, but they started calling it Royal Crown, and they were charging like $5 a six pack for it, and people were buying it for a while. And I remember my dad being like, "You know, that's RC, right?" Like, really? and with the tourist destination, I wonder if the problem is that because they haven't been as much of a tourist destination, they haven't had a chance to essentially get their tourism game together.
Well, according to the article, there's several problems. Mm-hmm. Number one, the country kind of froze in time when they threw out the capitalists and took over everything. It still has not changed much since the 50s. And there was a thing we used to use back in the 50s called cash. It was all the business transactions in the 50s were cash. Mm-hmm. Well, the world has moved on. And the world now uses credit cards and debit cards and all these under PayPal. You can even pay with your phone now. All these wonderful ways to actually settle a transaction exist outside in the world. Cuba, it's still all cash. It's still cash only.
Well, that's kind of what I mean in terms of tourist infrastructure in a way, right? That's the equivalent of having – like that's the kind of the equivalent of saying your neighborhood has a wireless internet, you know? It's not like something which about
is
an, your
which,
house.
Which is another thing. Which is another thing. They do not have. And that's been very frustrating for – you know, I read a story once online. Can't remember where, can't remember who, but it was a bunch of kids. They go, let's go to Cuba, man. And they went to Cuba. And the Airbnb that they had set up before they left did not exist. There was no building. Somebody took there was not even a building there. There was no – the address led to nothing.
That's funny.
And they say, it's okay, man. Just call Airbnb. And they take out their phone. No service.
Oh.
We'll send him an email. No service.
It's funny you mentioned the cash thing. When we were in France, we were staying at a really nice bed and breakfast for a couple of days in Giverny. And it was not cheap. It wasn't overpriced by any stretch. It was wonderful. But the very nice lady who runs it comes over one day to bring us our bag of our basket with our baguettes and our croissants and our chopped fruit for the morning and our yogurt. Delivered right to your door, and she says, don't forget, tomorrow's payment day, cash only. What? We're up on top of this French countryside place where there's no bank, there's nothing. We don't have I had to take a cab into town, to another town, to find an ATM to get out, like, 300 euros in cash to bring back to this lady. So, yeah, I mean, that was one thing that happened one time on our trip, and there was an ATM, you know, somewhat available with a little trouble.
Sure.
That I can imagine. You start compounding that, and it's like, so we're going to bring $1,200 in cash to Cuba?
Yeah, exactly. Into essentially a third world country.
Right.
I'm going to be walking around with $1,200 American, which in Cuba is pretty close to $1 million.
Yeah. It just seems
like walking around with $1 million. It's
My aunt and uncle were there because they are New Zealand residents, so they can go there without any fears of embargoes. They were there a few years ago and loved it. They said it was. They did say it was like stepping back into the 1950s, but because they kind of expected that, they very much enjoyed it.
Sure, sure. The other problem that was brought up in the article.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's not really open. You can go to Cuba, but you have to have a reason.
Oh.
You can only go there for humanitarian causes, cultural exchanges, things like, you know, really nice, touchy-feely left-wing reasons.
Sure. Or like a business visa or something, but you couldn't.
You can't go for fun.
You couldn't go. Yeah, you couldn't go to Cuba the way me and my wife went to France when we were just like, hey, France, we would like to come throw money at you. And they were like, yeah, wee-wee. So do you have an itinerary?
Just to make sure you only stay a little while.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a reason?
Have a reason what? To go to Cuba?
Yeah.
I am going to Cuba. I am the family is actually taking a cruise later this
year.
So
you're going to Cuba, but do you have a reason though?
Just to go to Cuba. You know what? I don't know. apparently, you see, the way I'm going, I'm going to go ugly American style. The family is going to take a cruise, our whole family. It's going to be a great family reunion.
How many people on this cruise, by the way? How many Slagles on the cruise, as it were?
Well, they're not Slagles.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't matter.
What size is your party? As my
18. It'll be a party of 18.
Wow. That's a big group.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a blast, and we're gonna go ugly American style.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna leave we're bringing the internet and running water and air conditioning with us and parking it at a dock.
That's perfect.
And then so that we'll be able to dip our toes into third world communism for an hour or two, and then go back and have a refreshing cocktail with ice, and then dip our toes again, and we'll be Yeah, a couple days in Havana, and then Cozumel, then home. But
nice. This might be, by the way, the one place that your Soviet watch is super boring to people. They're like, yeah, it's just like my watch.
And this is also the one place where we have to end the segment. Back on the Rule of Three, we are going to be talking about Brian Miller's viral tweet in the next segment. But right now, there is a passing that probably means more to me than it means to you, Brian Miller.
I'm not saying it doesn't mean more to you, but it means an awful lot to me. I was a very,
oh, no,
very
no,
big
no,
fan.
No, I'm sure it does. He was An American icon. I guess the word.
An unsullied American icon.
Everybody knew who it was. There are a few characters in showbiz history that have been so solidly acted and so solidly played that the poor fellow who played that was never able to get work again.
Yeah.
And one of them, of course, I think was Fred Gwynne, who was Herman Munster. It was impossible to see Fred Gwynne in anything without seeing Herman Munster after that. Another one from the same era is Adam West as Batman, who for me as a kid, I got to grow up with Batman. Batman was Wednesday and Thursday night, and Wednesday, and the cliffhanger always happened on Wednesday. So Thursday morning in school, we would all talk about how the heck is Batman going to get out of this one.
And I didn't realize, by the way, as a guy watching it in reruns later on, obviously there were two-parters, but I always thought that you had to wait a week. I didn't realize in the original airings that it was back-to-back nights.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday. And it was so brilliant, really.
Yeah, it was genius
for its day because it did. I mean, that's what everybody talked about is how's Bat. And you know, the obvious answer is, well, he's probably got something in his utility belt.
yeah.
He's got something stupid in his utility belt. There's no way he's not getting out of this.
Let me get my bat plot device.
But it always and for me. I believe the first time that I had a twinge of arousal in my youth was when Catwoman tied Robin to something or other. I don't know what it was, but I remember Catwoman and one of her kitty cats tying Robin up on some sort of torture device, and thinking I'm supposed to be afraid for Robin at this point in my life, but I kind of envy him for some reason.
You're like,
and I don't know why.
You're like, you know, Robin, I will take one for the team if you really need me to here. I will. Wait, now, the obvious question here, which Catwoman?
What?
Which Catwoman?
I do not remember. For the life of me, I do not remember which Catwoman. I do not remember. All I remember was the costume and Robin tied up and me thinking that that's really not a bad way to die.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be Julie Newmar or Eartha Kitt. You're like, yeah, either way, pretty good way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It was I'll always remember that, but always and then of course as I got older I realized that the Batman wasn't supposed to be serious. It was kind of done as it was a comedy show. And growing up, I did not realize that. But you know, as I entered my teen years, I still enjoyed it because now I was able to say, "Oh my gosh, this is so funny! I can't believe I took any of this seriously."
Yeah, and very knowingly funny. I mean, it really was. It's pretty brilliant that you know a 7-year-old can watch it and be like, "Sweet superhero show," but a 17-year-old can get stoned and watch it and be like, "Sweet, this is a pretty funny parody of a superhero show." I mean, that's a hard thing to do, you know, to be the parody and kind of be the thing to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bright colors palettes. There's a visual just feast, that show. It's a beautiful
and plus,
show.
Plus, at the time, I did not realize all the celebrities. I did not really it did not really occur to me that Vincent Price doesn't normally show up, and you know that the fact that he was the egghead, you know, Burgess Meredith as the Penguin, and Cesar Romero as the Joker. I mean, these people that were major film stars a few years before having a gas, dressing up in goofy costumes, and. You know, for me, no matter which, you know, how many Batmans will be made, to me, that was always Batman. That was the heart of Batman. There will never be another Batman, no matter how you want to remake it. And one thing I enjoy, and mm-hmm. something our listeners can look up. There's actually a YouTube video of all the window cameos.
The guys be washing the windows behind Gordon, you mean?
No. It's Batman and Robin inevitably.
They're climbing the building sideways. The classic turn the camera sideways.
Up the wall. Yeah. And somebody would always pop out of the window and it's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And there is there's a wonderful compilation on YouTube of all the cameos of all the people who put their head out.
That's interesting.
Colonel Klink, Jerry Lewis, Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
It's just an amazing amount of celebrities that would Dick Clark was actually did it. Did one. It was just delightful. And as a kid I had no idea, but it's, you know, but I know my parents, you know, caught it. It's like, "Oh my gosh, how did they get I might have remembered my dad once saying, boy, he must really be hard up for work if he's if he has to show up in a Batman episode.
You know what's funny is that I remember people doing that in the show, but because I mostly watched it when I was younger, I wasn't recognizing anybody popping out of the windows at the time. Because, you know, they were like 60 celebrities, 50 celebrities.
Yeah, exactly. Green Hornet and Kato. Actually.
Oh, nice. Bruce Lee.
Yeah. They actually stuck their head. Stuck their head out. So, yeah. So, definitely, if you're not aware of it, Google Batman window cameos.
And that's great.
They run them end to end. And they're just hilarious.
Yeah. I watched the show a lot when I was a kid. They would run it on cable. And then it was with my kind of generation. So then the Michael Keaton Batman movies, the Tim Burton ones, you know, came out and they were super popular. And I loved them I loved those as a kid. And
that was probably both about the same time for you, right?
Yeah, I was like 8 or 9 years old. It was perfect timing for me to, you know.
So you're watching them on, you're watching the reruns on TV still.
Yep.
And still then 20 years later. And unfortunately, I think Adam West was probably not getting a dime for that.
Probably not. Oh, but I mean, they were on all the time. I mean, you could, because they would run it as an hour long block. They would run both episodes on cable,
right?
So it was basically an hour show, and so a lot of kids my age kind of fell out of favor with the cheesy Batman once the new ones came out. And I was like, I never understood why you had to pick. I was like, wow, I like these, but I'm not going to stop watching this Adam West stuff. It's really fun. But a younger generation actually knows Adam West much better as the voice of the mayor of K-Hog on Family Guy.
No, I am aware of that. Do you think they don't know he's Batman?
I think there is a definite chunk of people who don't know, or if they are aware, it's only in the vaguest trivia question sense. But no, I bet there's a ton of 20-year-old kids who love Family Guy who could recognize the mayor of Quahog's voice instantly and would have no association with Batman.
Huh, there's something sad about that.
Yes and no, though, because that's a total second career in a way, right? Because the people remember Batman. So, I mean, he's still Batman. That's what he's remembered
for. No. He finally.
He kind of escaped in a way.
And the funny thing is you know, I was just saying that he could never get another role because he played Batman so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, I think he was still playing Batman. at least for everyone from your generation and back, it was still it's Mayor Batman.
Absolutely. Although I will say, I think one of the reasons that people liked Adam West so much is that by all accounts, he didn't seem to be begrudge the Batman thing. He seemed to really enjoy making people happy with it, and he always seemed very centered and happy with his lot in life, which I think I think is very delightful to everyone. It's a very anti Shatner kind of way to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm sure there was a couple. I'm sure there was a couple bitter years.
I'm not going to begrudge.
I was on a number one rated series for 3 years. What do you mean you can't give me a bit on Love Boat?
I'm sure there was a couple of. But overall, I think he was just known as a very graceful fellow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. He finally accepted his. He finally accepted it, and we also have to accept that these stay about 10 minutes long.
Second of Rule 3, kind of piggybacking off the sad passing of Adam West. Although, you know, to finish up the Adam West eulogy, 88, pretty good run. Seemed like he was pretty happy all the way through. Good for Adam West.
From what I heard, actually now all the stories are coming out, is that he was very happy. Those three years of Batman where he lived a rock star life.
Yeah, and he still was treated, you know, like kind of, you know, older but Hollywood royalty, you know, forever after. It's not a bad way to be.
He told a story. I just kind of breezed on this before the show. He told a story about, because, you know, it was the peace and free love era that coincided with Batman, and he and Frank Gorshin, the Riddler.
Oh yeah, I saw this.
Showed up at an orgy. And they got thrown out because they wouldn't go out of character.
Yeah, they put their costumes on.
I don't know if they even put their costumes on. They just said they just did. They played the character.
That's so funny. I thought they put their costumes on. And Frank Gorshin was so funny as the Riddler.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Yeah, that's great.
It would appear.
I like though that in the story it's like, but they definitely didn't have sex with anyone. Yeah.
Well, not that time.
Not that, yeah, perfect, yes, not that time. But it kind of a tangential relation to the Adam West thing. I had a rather strange thing happen, which is that I was heading to a wedding, and I saw that Adam West had died, and I thought, well, that's very sad. And while I was getting ready for the wedding, I just typed out a little joke on the Twitter. Little joke was, all the other Batmen should go to Adam West's funeral, like when a former president dies. It's not even a joke. It's like a funny idea, you know? Didn't think anything of it. You know, I type a couple of tweets into the old tweet machine every day and, you know, whatever. Get a couple of I like pellets and go to the wedding, have a nice time. Wonderful wedding. We're leaving the wedding. I sit down in the car. I turn my phone on and it's like, you've got 1,000 retweets. I'm like, wow, 1,000 retweets? And so I start looking into it and this tweet has kind of, at the time, I'd, like, gone viral. I'm thinking, oh, wow, like, I'm not even thinking the word viral at the time because it's like, okay, it's like, you know, 1,000 retweets, but I got some juice on this. This is, like, I mean, my most retweeted thing. This is pretty cool, you know? Yeah, I've gotten a few times where I've gotten, like, 500 here or there. But then it just kept picking up momentum, and it just kept going. And it's finally, this was Saturday morning, and it's finally just today started to slow down. And where we have wound up is I have 31,000 retweets and,
woohoo!
Yeah, and 90,000 likes.
Wow.
Which are crazy numbers.
How many new followers came out of that?
About 400 new followers out of that.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, that's, so that was...
That's money. That's yeah. Like money. That's like more valuable than Bitcoin.
Yeah, and so it was crazy. But so what was interesting was it's funny. Like my wife couldn't be less interested. She's just like, whatever, your stupid joke's online. No one cares.
No, you don't get it.
Yeah, because it was just weird to be at the center of this Well, I guess what my original point was being that my wife was very dismissive, and then some people are like almost overly enthused, and the reality is, of course, it's a cool little thing, and then, you know, the internet has a darn short memory. That's the nature of it, you know. My wife didn't understand.
That's not as important as the follow-up.
Yeah, yeah, right. And the fact that I do tweet jokes regularly, hopefully I can convert some of these people to comedy fans, you know, and get them to come to my shows. But one thing, she didn't understand why, while I was grilling, I had my phone in my left hand and I kept hitting update. But it was just crazy that every time you hit update, it'd be like, you got 4 new retweets and 7 new likes. I mean, every second you were getting
Hard. That's hard to put it down, isn't it?
At
that point.
And also,
when something like that happens.
Because
I've had a few things in my internet life where it's been like that, and you just can't. It's like, oh, more. it's truly like a drug.
Very much so. And I remember thinking, oh wow, like if I was ever, for whatever reason, got enough followers, you know, to where you could make that a really, not obviously it's rare for anybody, it's a confluence of circumstance to get 90,000 likes or whatever for the most part. But even if you're somebody whose tweets regularly get, you know, a couple of 300 likes and 100 or 200 retweets, say, you know, but you can put out 5 of those a day, you could spend a big chunk of your day just following the replies and the little approval pellets that you get, you know. And I was like, oh, it's a really dangerous thing. The lesson there into not getting too sucked into it. But one of the reasons I was doing it was that at the very first, I was excited. I wanted to trace back how this happened. And I was able to because at the beginning, there weren't enough I could go through. And what it seems to be is that a friend of mine in L.A. retweeted it. And then somehow or another, through that, Arthur Chu, the celebrity, the Jeopardy winner who got famous like a couple of years ago as like a Jeopardy villain. He retweeted it. And then at some point, Tony Kornheiser, the sportscaster, retweeted it, and then that's kind of where it took up the momentum. But once I got to a certain point of the things rolling in, you could never go back and see who all liked it and retweeted it because there's too many by number. I'm not going to go back and fish through all that. And so I became
91,000. No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And so I became kind of hung up on checking it because I wanted to see who was retweeting it, and I got some. It was just really fascinating to be. Through utterly no fault of my own, and it's not like or merit of my own. It's just an okay joke, you know.
I thought it was. It's for me. It was beyond a joke. It was like, yes, they should.
Yeah, and it is. I genuinely kind of like the idea, and I think that's why it got traction. It has a little. My buddy Gabe put it well. He said it's got a little bit of a petition element, like a wishful thinking petition. Like if enough people retweet it, they can like make it happen.
There's an episode of Black Mirror like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it was weird.
That's a really good point that it was, yes, that people are going, yes, you should. Tim Burton better be there, dang it. He's my age. That pretty much wrapped up his retirement. Is Batman gave Tim Burton the ability to blow off any stupid projects from there on out.
But there's 716 replies, like whole to that tweet, like whole like discussion threads where people would do exactly what you're saying, or they would get into an argument about whether or not Val Kilmer or George Clooney were worthwhile Batman. It devolved into political debates for some people. One guy accused me of hiding a secret code, an anti-Trump code in the tweet. Oh, do you think we're so stupid we can't see the code you put into this tweet? I was like, no.
Wow.
But some of my favorite retweets that I got.
Any idea what that was?
He said because I used a small p in president, that was somehow indicative of some larger phenomenon or whatever.
I got it.
But I said presidents. Obviously, it's not about.
I get it. I got it.
Yeah. But among some of the more interesting, real quick, before we have to go, I want to get some. I had a crazy confluence where it went back to back within like a couple of minutes. I got retweeted by Obama's former ambassador to Israel. And Ben Jacobs, that reporter who got body slammed by Greg Gianforte.
Wow.
So it was just so weird. And then, like, Jin, do you ever watch Lost? The show Lost?
Uh, I have. I don't know anybody on it. But.
Well, the Jin, Daniel Dae Kim, the Korean guy, he follows me on Twitter now. He retweeted it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Garrett Dillahunt, who was Jack McCall in Deadwood, and Francis Walcott later on in Deadwood, liked it. It was just funny to be, like I said, at the sort of nexus of this thing that you pretty quickly realize has nothing to do with you or your merits or, you know, like, it's nothing to get your ego up over because it's like, this is just a weird, you know, it sure. takes on its own stupid, weird force.
And our listeners can follow you on Twitter too,
yes,
can't they?
Yes, at Real Brian Miller. Come see the tweet yourself. come be underwhelmed by one among
step
many jokes.
Right up, see the tweet that got 91,000 likes.
yeah.
But also I'm on the Twitter. Is that Tim Slegel?
Yeah, and Real Brian Miller, on Twitter. Oh, yeah, and Brian Miller Comedy is the website. We can get all the episodes, and we will see you back
here. Or timslegel.com. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, didn't get mine in. Yes, yeah. And also leave us some comments.
Yes, the comments.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you think of the show. Very important.
Even if you think there's secret code hidden in it.
And we'll be back next week.
See you next week.